Welcome to the Pastor and Intern Podcast. My name is Eric. I'm the pastor on the podcast. Will is here with me. He is my associate. Will, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're also joined by the Pilgrim Turkey.
Yeah, so...
No, owl.
Yeah, it's definitely not a turkey.
Not a turkey. That is debatable.
No, it's not. That's an owl. So, I get a little festive.
A little.
And when I say a little, I mean as little as I possibly can, unless it's Halloween. In my office, I have this owl that has a pilgrim hat on and a belt with, like, that giant pilgrim buckle on it.
Yeah.
And he sits on my desk, so I thought it was fitting to bring him in here and sit him with us.
What's his name?
You know, I had a student name him the other day, and I don't remember.
Wow.
Must not have stuck. It must not have been that great of a name.
Right there.
Must not have been that great of a name.
No, probably
I probably was like, sure, just get out of my office. Like, that's probably what I said.
So, yeah, so it's Eric, myself, and Pilgrim Turkey named Steve.
It's not a turkey. It's an owl.
An owl. I don't know why. Look, turkeys and Thanksgiving, they just go together.
Exactly.
Owls and Thanksgiving.
That's what makes him unique.
Does not, because that's why you got him, because he was unique. Tell us that story, Eric. How'd you get him?
I don't really remember. I was in Walmart and saw him, and I was like,
"It always is a
that's going to be mine."
Good. That right there is mine. That's always a good beginning story is, yeah, I saw him in Walmart.
Saw him in Walmart.
By the way, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Thanksgiving when this releases.
When this releases.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God.
Yeah.
I don't want tomorrow to be Thanksgiving. I want next.
Yep. So tomorrow is Thanksgiving for those listening. So happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
From the past.
If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, I really appreciate it, but you should probably go eat something and watch a football game.
Right.
Don't listen to this on Thanksgiving. I'm sorry.
You can listen to this whenever you want to listen to this. All right, so what are we doing today, Eric?
Okay, so we're going to talk about the first couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 5.
We are.
And then we're going to talk about Thanksgiving.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what you decided.
That is an amazing plan.
I love how you're like all
I
like,
don't know.
Are we? What? Like, no, this is his plan. Don't worry.
That is a great plan.
Yeah.
I don't know who came up with that plan, but he should get a raise of some kind.
You just got a raise. Golly.
Which I am very thankful for.
Oh, whatever, dude.
For all those who
are
listening.
You're dead to me.
All right, Ephesians 5. Yeah, we're going to work on verses 1 through 5 today, and then we will pick up the rest of it after Thanksgiving, which then it will be Christmas time. That means every episode will open with a new Christmas song created by yours truly and the Pilgrim Owl. We're going to come together and create...
Sure our listeners are so excited for that.
I bet they are excited. So we're going to do Ephesians 5, 1 through 5 today, and then talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, and then let you go eat your turkey that we know you have waiting for you, as I do. So, all right, so let's start. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 5. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's just do one verse at a time.
Okay, one verse at a time. So, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children.
That's interesting.
We should look at the therefore. What is it there for?
Yeah.
Right?
So, he just got done talking about how we should be kind and compassionate to one another.
Right.
Says, be imitators of God, which this is God the Father, as we'll see, as dearly loved children. Okay?
Yeah.
So, we should love others because God loves us, and not only does he love us, like, we're not his second favorite child, right? Like, we are dearly loved children.
Right.
So, I think, you know, I was reading the commentary that I'm sure you read too, and it said, you know, father like son.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was funny because I'd never really thought about that before. How, in a lot of ways, for better or for worse, in a lot of ways, we imitate our dad. And I know my dad's not listening to this podcast, but it makes me think about all the ways that I imitate my dad just naturally that really frustrate me because I'll say something and I'm like, man, that's Bill. Like, I hate it so much. But you know, we should be imitators of God the Father for his love for us.
Right.
You know? Like, and it's not like I think it gives a great picture of who God is because God's not just this angry guy with a long beard sitting on a throne in heaven kind of watching the clock, waiting for this whole world thing to be over. But he's actually this loving being who cares about you, and he wants you to imitate that care to everybody else.
Right. So what does that mean? How do I imitate God?
Well, I think it's one of these things where, you know, God... So we are very self-centered beings. And again, when I was reading the commentary, these first five verses very much are about being self-centered, like being all about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Now, God has every right to be all about himself because he's legit. Like, he's too legit to quit. You know what I mean? Like, he's just the guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he can do that, but God chooses not to. And he chooses to be about us a little bit. Now, he is about himself still. But that he even shares any of his vision or love or sight for us is a big deal. And it should motivate us to not be self-centered, but to be other-centered. You know, like, yeah, you're supposed to love yourself. Don't hate yourself or anything like that. But you're supposed to love yourself, but you're supposed to love people too. And comparatively to our culture, I mean, is that like something like that's natural? Like, I would say no.
No, probably
not. I would say no. Like,
so you're saying being imitators is loving as he loved.
Yeah. Like, you love people.
That's being an imitator.
Yeah. What do you think it is, Bible scholar?
No, I agree. I'm not. I agreed with you.
You're saying it very sarcastically.
Well, you didn't answer. You, like, went into this. I just wanted an answer. So I was just specifically.
Well,
I did. That's what I was. I was just giving that specific answer. Is that that's what you meant?
Okay.
Was
sure,
that one
sure
answer?
Was, sure
so
was.
Is it possible to be a complete imitator of God? Is this something that we can? Can we completely? Can I be like God? Completely in every way?
Well, definitely not. Like,
probably not,
like,
right?
You can't say, I want a tree and a tree appear right there
right.
out of nothing. You can't do that.
I'm not omniscient.
No, you're not all powerful.
No,
you can't do that. But you
even
are
a little bit powerful.
But you are like God almost naturally.
Right.
You,
so we shouldn't read this verse and think, as a Christian, I am God in some ways. I can do all of these things. I'm
no.
trying to imitate.
No, 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 no. Especially if you read it in context.
But he's more of meaning like in characteristics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even the way our Bible breaks it up, because we're reading out the same translation, you know, you have like those subscripts.
Mm-hmm.
Like the next one down says light versus darkness. Like there's no subscript that is between
yeah, why is that?
Chapter 5 and chapter 4. So in these subscripts, I like them and I don't like them all in the same thing. Because there's some moments like this one where it's like, yes, we do not need to interrupt this thought because it's one thing. Like, it's not like it's different, right? Like, there's no transitions. Like, even though he's saying therefore, he's not saying therefore, on to the next thing. He's like, no, because of this, we don't need a break here. Like, in, for example, if you go back to 16 and 17, I feel like they break 16 to 17. I don't necessarily know that you need to do that.
In chapter 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here, they do it very well.
Well, he's like continuing the thought, right?
Yeah.
It's continuing on.
Yeah. And so, there's some times when these little subscripts are gone, and they need to be gone because, you know, we've tried to include chapters and verse numbers that aren't in the original context there into it to help us read it because that's just who we are.
Right. Need all the help we can get.
Yeah, we need all the help we can get. And so it's good that it's not there because it shows you how seamless this
yeah.
All
well, they would have read
together.
It that way.
Yeah, they would have. I mean, you know, they didn't have any of these subscripts. Like, right. Paul isn't like, how do I summarize this? Light versus darkness, great. Like, no,
right.
That's not what
chapter
happens.
Chapter 5, no, it's just a letter.
Yeah. Five,
one,
therefore. Like, no.
One straight. Can you imagine opening a letter and there's chapters to your letter?
Yeah, I wouldn't
like,
read
I'm
it.
I'm not reading it.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, skim to the end, conclusion.
No. Yeah, what
okay,
is
great.
The... All right, good. All right, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Almost made it through that verse.
You did. You almost got there.
Almost there. So walking in love as Christ also loved us.
Yeah, so... We are supposed to walk in this, you know, like just as we are to imitate God in
right.
our love for others, we're also supposed to, it's also like a, it's almost like a physical doing of it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like I can love someone and technically never do anything for them because I just love them.
Okay. So it's like an action thing here.
Yeah. So it's like this both and, like God loves you. Right? He doesn't have to do anything for you, but he still loves you. And yet Jesus loves you through like this physical, you know, he walks in love. He gave himself for us in love. His love is sacrificial. His love is almost this beautiful fragrance that God is putting on the earth for us to be like, okay, I know what that is. I know it when I see it or smell it or whatever.
Right. You know? So, yeah, I know I agree with you. I think what's interesting there about that fragrant offering, and you may have read the same thing, but I read it in probably that same commentary about how when in the Old Testament when they gave offerings, how it was shown that God was pleased was that it was this pleasing aroma.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's as if Paul's saying that same thing about how when Christ died for our sins, that it was this fragrant, it was this pleasing aroma
yeah.
that was given.
And right? I think it's a I think it's a good question to ask yourself, when I'm around people, am I this enjoyable person to be around, you know? And by that, I don't mean like life of the party, because Jesus was never the life of the party. Unless he was doing some sort of miracle, then people were like, yeah, that's awesome.
That guy right there. Yeah.
yeah. But he wasn't doing, like, party tricks. Like, that's not what he was doing. But at the same time, we really need to think about, okay, when we're around people, are we, like, yelling and screaming about our political views? Or are we, like, loving on people and telling them that we love them and doing things for them and being Jesus to them?
Yeah, so is it this idea that we could almost have like a fragrant offering to us almost? That makes sense. Like almost this like there's something different about that guy.
Yeah,
like this that idea of fragrance.
Right. Right. Like it
because I don't know that we should read this word and literally think now in the Old Testament this was like a pleasing aroma, but true. I don't know that we should think of that now and think, well, this guy just has a really nice smell.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But it's more yeah. of like there's something pleasing about this.
Right. Right. And it's not like it's not in the sense of, you know, you can get saved from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like you can tell there's something different, but that doesn't mean that you could see that and go, you know what? I want to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Like, that's not what he's talking
right,
about.
Right, right, right.
Right? Because you need to actually talk and listen and hear and read to even understand that.
Right.
But it's more of, hey, this is what Jesus looks like in you because of how you live your life.
Right.
So right. you're supposed to be imitators of God, right? You're supposed to love people like God loves you. But you're also supposed to walk like Jesus did, in love, as Christ has also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering. You know, I just don't know that when we think about living like Jesus, we think about sacrificing our own time and effort for someone else solely because we love them. Like at work, you do it for your boss, right? Like I'm going to sacrifice my 8 hours every day to do well at my job and for my boss, you know, to make my boss look good or whatever. But in the real world, where we are supposed to be Jesus to people, because Jesus isn't here anymore, we're Jesus to people, do we really sacrificially walk around sacrificing all the things that we want in love for people? I don't know that we do that all that no, well.
Probably
now,
not.
There are some of us that are killing it, right?
Right. So some people are just really...
High five, right?
Rosaria Butterfield, she's
yeah,
not
that girl's killing it. Yeah. But, you know, I think this is just something that we can continuing to work on. Like, I don't know that Paul is saying these things and being like, hey, y'all are doing great, high fives. Like, he's being like, hey, y'all are doing fine, but this is the goal. This is what yeah. you should look like, you know.
Right, right, right. So verse 3, but sexual morality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. So yeah. So is there some saying we have for the word but? Is there some, like, you have the therefore, you need to see what it is there for.
It's almost like
some saying
it's almost like the other side of the coin. It's like, now listen, you're supposed to be living in this self-sacrificing, loving way, and you're not supposed to be doing this.
Right.
You know, like, this is what you're supposed to be doing, flip the coin, but this is what you can't do.
Well, and I think this is why there's no subscript in between 4 and 5, is because whoever put the CSB Bible together or whoever decided where these subscripts are going.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing he's doing in chapter 4, right? He's just continuing this idea of, like, the subscript in before verse 17 says living the new life. And so, again, it's this idea of you're comparing and contrasting. You're seeing what you were before to what you were now, right?
Yeah.
And we're looking back at the what you were before. Mm-hmm. There are things to keep away from now.
Yeah.
Right? So he lists 3 things: sexual morality, sexual sin, right? Impurity or greed.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is the language he uses there should not even be heard of among you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not like don't give in to this, but it's you're so different.
It should
now
be absent
that you that doesn't even yeah. yeah. Right.
So there's a couple thoughts that I saw there and I think I read it in the commentary too, but it came to mind first was these are problems we still deal with.
Yeah.
Like there's no difference. Like there's 2,000 years of difference.
You mean like we deal with the modern time?
Yeah, like us today. These problems aren't Pauline time problems.
Right.
Like these are everlasting issues. Like they are issues we've dealt with since the creation of the world all the way until now. And so when people say the Bible doesn't apply to me today, or it's an old book that's, you know, just full of dust and nothing else, that's just not true. Like, all of these things are still an issue. And to me, it's almost encouraging. I know that sounds weird, but it's like, guys, the church has been dealing with these problems since it was formed.
Right.
And we're just 2,000 years into this formation of what this thing is. So that's the first thing I took from it. But the second thing is, and this is something that, the commentary mentioned too, was we like to rename our sin, which is interesting because he pretty much covers everything. Sexual immorality, so any sort of sexual experience outside of the natural boundaries of a man and a woman who are married, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is, okay? Then you've got impurity. So he's like, okay, not sexual sin's not just bad, but any other type of sin is terrible. So any other impurity, so right. Anything else you could do that's bad, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And greed. So let's break these down. Without being like the most crude people in the world, what is sexual immorality? Like, what does that include? Like, there's like an umbrella, right?
Right.
Like, there's this umbrella called sexual immorality. It's on the front of it. It's a terrible umbrella. You shouldn't bring that umbrella out when it's raining. But it's the umbrella. What is included underneath it, do you think?
Oh, you're going to, okay.
I want you to do it. Yeah.
You want me to name these things. Okay. Yeah. So first thing that comes to mind is probably homosexuality.
Okay. That's the hot one, right? That's the big issue.
That's the hot one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any, another one that, because I remember reading the list that you're referencing.
Yeah.
And the last thing on that list is bestiality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't remember what the
so having some sort of relationship with an animal.
With an animal. Yeah.
That's
probably
weird.
Not a good thing.
Yeah. That's right. Not good. Yeah. And then you've got adultery, right? So
right.
You have some sort of sexual experience with someone who's married,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're married and you're having a sexual experience with someone else.
Yeah.
So it's all of these things. And
right.
He says, these should not even be heard among you. So, Will, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a hard question.
Okay.
In the church.
Yeah.
Do these things happen?
Yes.
They do.
They do.
So how do we reconcile these ideas together? Like, if these are things we shouldn't even, like, they shouldn't even be in the same ballpark.
So could it be in the same way that he's talking about being imitators of Christ? So this is something you struggle with, but this is the goal? Right, so the goal is for it to never be heard of among you, but because we're sinners, it'll always be something we struggle with or something we...
I think it has an element of that to it. I think there is evidence in the passage for that. I think that's part of the answer. But I think it's a habitual thing, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, he's talking about your habits.
He's
like, you know, you should be imitators of God. You should love like the Father. You should be imitators of Christ. You should walk like Christ. Neither one of those actors has ever had any sort of sexual issue. Ever. Like, not even close. Right? You would agree with that?
Right.
Okay.
You say actors. What do you mean actors?
Like, they never participated in any of it.
Who?
Jesus.
Yes.
Or God the Father.
Yes.
Never,
yes.
ever participated in any of it. So, because of that, we are to be imitators in them by not doing any of that. So, and there's another hard question for you.
Okay. Hit me.
So he gets to this point where he says, you know, this should never even be heard from you. So if anyone participates in any sort of sexual immorality who is saved, quote unquote, in the church, and they participate in this, does that mean that they're not saved?
No.
Why?
Because it's a habit, like you just said. To me, it goes back down to the bottom of in verse 5 there, but... Yeah, it's like a habit of... Does that mean you're not saved if you backslide into sin? No. Now, if it's a habit of something you're doing, like if you're consistently dealing with sexual morality and it's something you're... Like if you're consistently committing adultery or you're consistently living a homosexual lifestyle, then are you saved? Probably not.
Right.
So it's a habit.
It's like a lifestyle, right?
Right.
Like if I'm married and I have an affair for 3 years...
Yeah, you're probably...
The odds are that I'm probably not saved.
Right.
But I look at that and I see people that are uncomfortable with that idea. Because I think we like to rename our sin, right? Like, well,
okay, so explain that. Give me an example of that. Okay. I know what you mean, but give us an example.
So let's keep going with this idea. So we like to rationalize what we're doing. So okay. I'm unhappy in my marriage. My wife, you know, she doesn't love me anymore. We're not even like in any sort of relationship. We just kind of live in the same house. Or my wife is abusive. And she says mean things to me all the time. She doesn't love me anymore, blah, 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 blah.
So it's almost as if you're like giving an excuse for your sin.
Yeah, you're excusing your behavior in comparison to someone else, right?
Right.
Which I think is one of the bigger issues with how we deal with our sin. But we like to look at things like that and go, well, you've got to understand. Like,
right.
Or, well, you need to know that there are things going on that you don't realize. And I think that is such a huge problem to me.
Okay. So explain that, and then I have a question for you. So
okay.
Explain.
So, because then, once you start saying, well, my partner is doing this, 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 and this, so that gives me the right to do this, 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 and this, it's almost as if, like, the scale that you're measuring on is too heavy in her direction or his direction,
yeah.
And you're just trying to even up the scale. You're like, okay, now it's fair.
Right.
It's so like, that's not up to you. That's not up to you to
make it
fair.
So what you're not saying is that we should just be okay with whatever, because we're talking about the illustration of marriage, right?
Sure.
So what you're not saying is that we just need to be 100% okay with whatever. So
right.
If that person is cheating or abusive or whatever, you're not saying that we should just be okay with it, but
right.
You're saying it's almost this idea that two wrongs don't make a right.
Sure.
Right? We've always heard.
Yeah.
You're saying the answer to that is not to go in your own sin and use that as an excuse
to do something.
To do something else.
Right.
But you should deal with that.
I'm
problem.
Unhappy.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna find my happiness in someone else.
Right. Well, yeah, and I like the idea. I mean I think the commentator uses if I like it, then it must be good. Or
yes,
I mean, it's just all of these things.
If it makes me feel good, it must be good.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm happy, again, it's this idea. Well, should I either number one really trust my feelings? Should I really trust my emotions? Are these the things that, you know, decide what is good and what's not good? But I think because I also like that. I think that's interesting. This idea of renaming our sin, because I think we do that all the time.
Well, and I was listening to Ask Me Anything by J.D. Greer yesterday, and he's talking about this idea of should you use the pronoun for someone who's transgender, or should you use their actual pronoun as far as like a biblical worldview or whatever. And he's talking about all these things, and he's going, you know, you need to look at the heart of the issue before you even start to do this, you know. And so I want to be clear in what I'm saying. If you have had some sort of type of affair go on, or you were a main actor in it or whatever, you can be saved from that.
Yeah.
But if your affair's going on for 3 years, 900 days, 1,000 days, and there's no repentance for it, you know, then you probably don't have a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
And that's just...
So that was another thing I was going to ask you, because you talked about these struggles. These things that are going on that lead to your own sin.
Yeah.
And I think you would, I'm trying to figure out how I would word this, but it's like you're not saying that, like these two things are equal in any way, as if, I'm trying to think of the example I had in my mind before it was gone. So, because you were talking about the struggle. So these are the things that we struggle with.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's sin, and they lead us down this direction of sin. And I don't remember now.
Okay, great.
I don't remember what I was going to ask. Daggum it. What was I going to ask? I don't remember. All right, well, there you go. Apparently
all right,
that
so then we go from sexual immorality to
impurity.
So that's anything else that would be under the umbrella of sin, right? It would be like, and again, I think it's this whole issue of self-centeredness. Because like being like God, the Father, and being like Christ is being selfless. Right? Like you are not being what you want. You're being what God wants you to be. You're being what Jesus wants you to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not being selfish. Selfish actions include sexual immorality, which we just discussed, any impurity, okay? So he's like, not only does sexual sin make you impure, but it's any other type of sin. Yeah. And then he says greed.
Yeah, way to bring up my money.
Yeah, right? Like, seriously, you jerk?
Wow,
like,
Paul.
Like, you can talk about my sexual activity all you want, but you leave my wallet.
You leave
out
my
of
money
it.
Alone.
Okay? So he talks about greed, and, you know, and Danny Akin is talking about Tim Keller. Did you read that part? And he says, you know, you'll talk about the seven deadly sins and people won't show up for the greed part because they don't think they have an issue with it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, I give to the church and, you know, I donate to this mission or whatever. And that means I can spend my money however I want to. And I think that is a huge problem. I think money is a huge issue, you know, because we're doing Sermon on the Mount. And in Sermon on the Mount, he says, now listen, you can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other, which literally means you will choose one and not choose another, right? You can't love God and money. And he's going through like this long list of things, and money, it seems like he's talking about money. Then he's talking about choosing, loving and hating your masters, and then money again. It seems as though in Sermon on the Mount, God as Jesus is, you know, hopping around. But he's not, though, because he says, listen, money's a big problem. Money's an issue. You need to figure it out. You need to figure out money. And I think it's a mistake for us to go, well, I don't deal with that. You know, I don't deal with any sort of greed or anything like that. It's like, well, I think we need to really check ourselves, you know.
Can I give money and still be greedy?
I think you can.
Okay.
Like, if you're giving money to help you feel better about your greed, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And John Piper talks a lot about that because he talks about living in like these wartime conditions where we just use the money that we have to use to get by, to pay for our bills, to pay our house payment or whatever, our car payment or our food. And that's it. Like, that's all we spend money on. And I'm sure John Piper buys a book occasionally. But you know what I mean.
Probably.
It's like that. But he doesn't use it for anything else. Like, he literally just gives it all away. And it's this whole, like, and I don't want to go too far down this road, but it's this whole issue of, you know, retirement. Like,
yeah.
I want all this money so that I can sit in my house for the last 30 years of my life and do nothing and not have to work. Like, let's think about that for a second. Is that really what God would have you do? If God has this global mission of living like Christ and sharing Christ with the world, do you really think that God is on board with this whole idea of you just sitting in your house for the last 30 years of your life? I don't know. Because I'm going to go with a big no on that one.
Mm.
But there's a because I've struggled, like you know, with this idea, and I still struggle with it, with retirement. Like, is retirement something that I actively am looking at in the future? Like, I struggle with that idea. Because right now it's a big no. Like, I don't really care about retirement. But on the flip side, I'm starting to form this idea of, okay, let's say I do retire. What am I going to be doing? Now, if I retire, have all this money built up, blah, 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 equity, big adult words, all that stuff.
You can go move to Africa.
Yeah. Like, well, okay, let's front the brakes. But am I going to serve the church in some capacity? Because I don't need a job, right? I don't need to pay for anything. I've got all this money built up. So am I going to go and sit in my house or sit at the golf course? Or am I going to go sit at the church every day and work? Am I going to go help feed the homeless every day? Am I going to go do things? Because God never, ever says, listen, you put your hard work in.
You're done.
You're done. You're good. Sit on the bench now.
Well, this idea is work was a sin thing and not something that was already established before.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, work was established in the garden before.
God works every day.
Before Genesis 3. Because, by the way, you'll get to heaven and guess what you'll be doing?
Working.
You'll be working.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And that's an eternity, by the way.
Right. There's now, does sin taint work? Yes, but
sure.
Still. So, and that's probably why he does. Now, so before we... before we move on from greed, so what you're not saying is that we are, so are you saying that if I'm currently right now not using the necessities and giving away every single other penny I have that I am greedy?
No, I'm not saying that.
So you're saying that that's like the extreme, that's what I could be doing, or?
I think that's one answer to the greed
problem. So if I look at my life and how should I establish whether or not I'm greedy? So by the way I give,
I can't believe you're going to make me answer this question. So you need to look at, okay, you need to, and me and my wife do this occasionally. You need to get a piece of paper out. You need to look at the year before, and you need to say, I made this much money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I made this much money. And then you need to say, okay, how much money did I spend on my children that was necessary? So Charlotte, for instance, my two-year-old, has doctor's appointments that she has to go to. Now, do I think it's some sort of scheme that she has to get all these shots and that they might just be water? I don't know. But she has to get all these shots, and they're expensive, right? So those things have to happen. She has to have clothes. Like, I'm not letting my daughter walk around naked. It's not a good precedent.
Yeah.
I want her to have diapers. Because I'm not a huge fan of cleaning up her messes on the floor. Mm-hmm. Just not a huge fan.
Appreciate you keeping that PG there.
Yeah, you're welcome. So all of those things are necessary,
yeah.
Right? I've got to pay my house payment. I've got to pay my car payment. And I don't have nice cars, by the way. I'm just not a car person. If you have a nice car, great. But I don't. I'm just not a car person. And you take all that out, house payment. You take all that out, like the necessary things, okay?
Right.
Okay, so then you eliminate that part of what you make. Now you're left with, let's say that you make $100,000 a year, like collectively, like you and your spouse, which is not a whole lot, but that's just how much you make. And let's say you use $35,000 of that on your house, uses your cars, your bills, all of that kind of stuff, okay? So now you're stuck with, $65,000, right? When you map out that $65,000, how much are you spending on the church? So how much are you giving away? When I say church, it's an umbrella statement for...
So you mean more than tithing.
Tithing.
Yeah.
And we need to do an episode about tithing, by the way.
Yeah,
tithing.
Woo.
Giving to missions.
A couple years.
Lottie Moon. Whatever. You need to see how much that is. And then, the hard part, you need to see how much of that money you spend on yourself. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
And this is how I know that people struggle with materialism.
Okay.
So every once in a while, I have a teenager who is graduating and goes to college.
Okay.
So once a year. Okay.
Yeah.
Said teenagers, this is what they'll do. They'll go into their closet and they'll get clothes out that they don't wear anymore and they want to sell it on the internet. So they put it on their Instagram or whatever, like,
join my Facebook page.
Yeah, and buy these shorts I've worn one time. Like, that's what it is. And that's the problem, right? If you're selling a pair of leggings that you've wore one time or never, that you spent $40 on, and you're wanting $15 for them, we might have a materialism issue. Like, you don't need that. And we've got this ungodly part of ourselves that just wants, right? This consumeristic, I've got to have all the money so I can have all this stuff. And that's just not, that's not a Christian thing. Like, that's a you thing, you know? Like, how many possessions did Jesus have?
He had the CSB.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he sure did. You know, how many possessions did Paul have? How many possessions did the early church have? And I'm not saying being rich is a sin. I'm not saying that. But it is a sin whenever you have a surplus of money and you look at yourself every time and go, I'm going to spend this on me. I think we really need to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, what are we doing? Giving. Now, I'm not saying that you can't spend money on yourself every once in a while. Like, you know, me and my wife haven't gotten away in the last couple of years because of work or my children or whatever. We're going to spend a week and go wherever people like to go. Again, I'm not a huge go
Disney World. Travel.
Disney World, sure. And that's fine. But if you're going to Disney World every weekend, you might have an issue, you know. So, again, and I know I just said a lot of things that make people go, I don't like that. Because I don't like it. But at the end of the day, this is what Jesus is talking about. And especially Paul in this little chunk of verses, it's not as though he's saying, okay, sexual immorality, number one sin. All impurities are number two, and number three on the tail end, that's not that big of a deal, greed. That's not what he's doing. He's saying these are the three things you're going to have issue with.
Yeah.
And greed does not need to be looked over by everyone and go, I don't struggle with that, and then you move on. No, if you do that, you've missed. You've really whiffed. Yeah. Like, you've swung at it, and you like spun a 180.
Well, the scary thing about greed is that this is something that almost every single person struggles with. In the way of, let me clarify that. So, I mean, we all struggle with sexual morality and impurity, but we all may not have homosexual tendencies, or we all may not struggle with adultery. But we all, at some point in our life, is going to deal with money.
We will all have a dollar in our pocket.
Yeah, and how we're going to give away.
And how to use it.
Right.
That's the issue.
Right. Now, I don't even want to ask this question because we should move on from greed, but I have one more question for you.
Sure.
And quickly answer. So we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, right? And he has a section on giving that you talked about last week. And the beginning of that section talks about righteousness and are you showing off your righteousness to others for they will have your reward. So is it possible to be able to do all the things you just said and I'm doing it in the right, or I'm doing the right things by giving away more than I'm keeping in, or giving away more than I'm buying things for myself, but to still be greedy? Would you say yes or no? Is it or is it not?
So you're saying...
So if I'm doing exactly what you said, I'm evaluating my giving, I'm thinking, okay, well, I have this much money left, and I'm going to spend this much on myself, but the rest of it I'm going to give away. This is what I'm told to do. That's good. But during that time, I have this attitude, well, if I just give away all of this, then that means that I'm this great person. I'm going to put my name on
a
building.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? So, I'll just answer for you. So what I'm saying is, like, you're giving in a way that is not... I think you're still maybe dealing with greed. Maybe more of a pride thing than greed.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Look at me.
It's less about your money and more about your selfishness.
Right.
That's what it's more about.
Right.
Yeah, because Clay, in the service, I've said 1,000 times, I'm going to say it one more time, and I'll be done with it, talked about this guy who donated money to build a wheelchair ramp, and he was out there every day so that people would know that he did it. That is not being righteous.
Yeah.
That is practicing righteousness, fake righteousness, in front of people. That's what that is. But the guy who gave an incredible amount of money to our church for the finishing off of the building that we're sitting in and refused to be named, that is practicing righteousness.
We appreciate that.
That's what that is. Yeah, no, that guy's awesome.
That was really nice. All right.
If he's listening to this podcast, you know, you can always donate to the podcast.
Yeah. All right, verse 4. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks.
Okay, so... Will, you have a great definition for this. So what is obscene, foolish talking, crude joking, that are
so
not
he,
suitable?
So he talks about in verse chapter 4, he talks about foul language, right? So maybe he may be talking about something different here, maybe.
Okay.
So we're not, I mean, it probably could be considered the same.
Sure.
I mean, I guess you consider like cuss words.
If I called you a doo-doo head right now, would that be considered
obscene?
Yes.
That is very obscene.
Darn it, we need to edit that out of the podcast. Yeah. The that's obscene.
So obscene, foolish talking, crude joking. I don't know. Like, you want a specific example of what he's talking about?
Not really. I feel like we all know what this is.
Yeah,
I feel like we've all experienced it before. Like,
it's when you're trying to be. It's almost like this idea that you're like trying to pick on somebody, but you're being a jerk about it. You know, like.
Like, if you've ever been in a guy's locker room, you know exactly what this is.
Right.
Now, I have no idea if ladies talk like this in the locker room. They might.
Who knows?
But I've been around enough locker room talk to know, I think I've got this one. I think I know what this is.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, when I see this, you know what I think about, which is really convicting? Sarcasm. What?
Sarcasm. Okay,
that
interesting.
Really hurts.
I didn't think of that. So that's interesting. Okay.
You know, I think about my own sarcasm, and I'm like, dadgummit, I'm really sarcastic. Like you know you're really sarcastic when someone's talking, and you already have thought about what you're going to say, and you're kind of ignoring what they're saying to get to what you're going to say. That's when you know you're sarcasm.
I don't know that you are.
You don't think I'm overly sarcastic?
I'm trying to think of a moment. I mean, maybe I'm just a bad judge of that. I don't know. I don't.
Maybe you're sarcastic and you're like, nah, it's not that bad.
Yeah, right. That's true. Maybe we both struggle with it. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, we don't. So, yeah. But, no, I agree. I think we all sort of have an idea of what obscene and foolish talking and crude joking. So, what's interesting, though, is he does say crude joking. So, we can joke with each other and it's fine,
but there is some joking where you're like, that's a little far,
That's
a little far right there. You need to probably keep that to yourself.
Right. Right.
But you know what's great? Suitable. You know what's great, though?
What?
We're reading this out of the CSB Bible.
That is great. Why is that great,
Eric? It's great because the CSB Bible is a dynamic translation of the Bible from the original manuscripts. And not only is it that, but it is a dynamic translation as in it has the simplicity of books like the NIV with translations like the NASB. So the NIV tries to make things simple while remaining true to the original context, or the NASB is looking to be as accurate as possible. Okay, so you take these two ideas, you mash them together, and what happened was they had this beautiful baby called the HCSB, okay? When the HCSB came out, it was great, it was awesome, read it for years, but it was a little bit too wordy. So what they did was they tried to take down some of the wordiness of it and make a, what I would call, a almost perfect translation of the Bible called the Christian Standard Bible. So if you're looking for a Bible that is simple, easy to read, but also incredibly true to the original text, the CSB is for you.
This is a great Bible for Christmas gifts.
Man.
You want to get
I will gift
Christmas
you
present.
One. You just let me know, and I will gift you one.
Okay.
I'll do it.
You need a CSB Bible, go see Eric.
I'll do it.
All right, so, but rather giving thanks. We'll talk about that in a second. Verse 5. For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral or impure or greedy person who is an idolater, interesting, he adds that in, does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Yep.
So that's not in who is an idolater. That's not in verse 3.
Nope.
Right? So he adds that in verse 5. He's like, by the way, those who struggle with these, you're struggling with idolatry.
Yeah.
So is this like, the overarching problem? Is that idolatry? Does it all start there? Is that the...
Well, when you think about it, when I don't know what you think about when you think about idolatry.
Okay.
I've tried to move away from like a little carved idol made out of wood. Like I've really moved away from that.
Right.
And I've started to think of the idea more abstract. Mm-hmm. So more like, hey, it's not limited to just one thing. It's a bunch of different things. And if something's your idol, like you're worshiping that thing. Like you are bending the knee, as some would say, to whatever it is. So your sexual immorality, or your impurity, or your greed, your money. You know, you're doing that. And what's crazy is it's back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, you literally choose one and not the other. So you can't be in love with your money and in love with Jesus. You can't do those two things. And again, we like to rename our sin, right? So we're saying, well, I do love Jesus, but I sure love my money. It's like, no. It's one or the other. Yeah, like, you can't love both of them. You can't love your affair and love Jesus at the same time. These are competing issues.
Right.
Right? Now, could you possibly have an affair, repent of your sin, and be saved? Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that you could struggle with your money for a season, be convicted about it, and then repent of your sin and you're saved? Yes, I certainly do think that. But if all of your love and attention are going to these things, you have an idol in your life and you have nothing to do with the saving grace of Jesus in your life.
Well, again, it's these habitual things. These are, because he's talking about does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So he's saying you're not saved.
Yeah, you're not saved. Like, so you're just not.
Like you said, it's not that we backslide into these things. It's not that we struggle for a season.
No.
But it's that you're continually
it's almost
struggling.
And again, I think it's this dynamic thought process of it. Because we associate the two together, right? So it's hard for us to pull them apart, but that's what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to pull these ideas apart. Like, just because you struggle with it, like let's say you've had an affair in your life, doesn't mean that you're in love with your affair, right?
Yeah.
There's a difference between those two things.
Well, and maybe we should, so instead of saying struggle, maybe we should say, like, you're in this continual sin.
Yeah, it's habitual.
Right?
Because
I can
struggling
still struggle.
And habit are totally different.
Right, because I can still struggle with how I give my money, but give my money in the right way.
Yeah, you give it anyway.
Right, and that's just something you ask for God to continually to teach you how to do better at, whatever.
Sure.
But on the flip side of that, I can be giving my money in not the right way.
Yeah, or not giving at all.
Right, right.
And be in love with it. Those are different.
So just because I struggle with a sin doesn't mean that I'm habitually living in a sin.
Yes.
And that I'm not saved.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I feel like when people hear that, they're like, man, you're being really harsh. And it's like, no. If you think I'm being harsh, you've misunderstood what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I'm trying to say that if you struggle with this, it's okay. If you're enslaved to it, it's different. They're totally different. But unfortunately, we try to rename it and pull those two things together. Right. And I just don't think that they belong together.
Right.
They do not belong together.
Right.
They just don't. And I like that he included idolater.
Yeah,
you are an idolater.
He threw that in there.
And I think that's how we can be confident in that answer. I think those three words or whatever mean they were, those give me confidence in that idea.
Right.
So,
right.
Anyway.
So tomorrow is Thanksgiving for those who are listening.
Mm-hmm. Turkey Day.
Turkey Day. So I guess because this episode's already long, it's a good thing we only took five verses. That was a great idea. I don't know who in the world came up with that idea.
No,
that was
either.
So is there a way that we look at Thanksgiving in a wrong way? In any way? Can you think of a way maybe we as Christians, we as people in our modern time, is there some way that we're looking, is Thanksgiving, let's start with this actually, define Thanksgiving for me.
Oh, man.
When you think of the holiday of Thanksgiving, the holiday, what do you think?
Oh, the holiday?
The holiday.
That's an easy answer.
Okay, hit me with that one
When
first.
I think about the holiday, I think about people coming together, eating food as a family, and watching a football game. That's what Thanksgiving is as a cultural thing.
So what is when we think of Thanksgiving, what should it mean instead?
Okay, so I don't know about you, but when I think about Thanksgiving, I think about that old picture you saw in the fourth grade of the pilgrims and the Indians eating together.
Yeah.
That's what I think about in Thanksgiving. Because I think it's like this celebration of coming together with people that you love. It doesn't have to be family members. It can just be people that you love, eating a meal together and being thankful for those relationships. I think that's what Thanksgiving's about. It's not a Christian holiday, okay?
It's not.
It's not.
Okay. So it didn't start out as a Christian holiday?
I don't, maybe. But I don't think it is at all. But not that it has to be for you to celebrate it. Like, it doesn't have to be a Christian holiday for you to celebrate it or not celebrate it. But that's what Thanksgiving is.
Yeah. So instead of the holiday, now tell me what, like, me being a thankful person, does that mean I'm giving Thanksgiving all the time? Can you define Thanksgiving in a way that you're doing a constant thing?
I mean, I think you've got to come to a place in your life where you're just thankful for what God, from a Christian worldview, from what God has done for you. There's just moments where in my life personally, that I look back on my life so far. I've lived a long, almost 30 years.
Long life.
Yeah,
man,
it's about I'm hoping that's a little less than a third of my life, but it's whatever. I want to be 100. Anyway, I think about my life and I go, God, I can think back to times where my relationship with God was not good. I can think about times when I wasn't married yet. I can think about times when I didn't have a child yet. And there's moments where you're in those times and you're thinking, man, my life's about to change. My life's about to be a lot different. My life's about to be weird. Like, I don't know what to do. But then you look back on the outside of all of that and you say to yourself, you know, I'm thankful that God's done all of this in my life because I couldn't have done it. And I think that's where you have to, from a Christian worldview, think about Thanksgiving. Like, you literally have to think to yourself, what's happened in my life so far? What am I thankful for? You know,
right?
Because it's easy to get focused on things that are horrible that happened in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even through those, like, I'm thankful that I had this much time with my grandmother or whatever. Like, you shouldn't focus on, hey, if you lost your grandmother this year, man, my life is the worst because my grandmother passed away. It's like, no, you need to be thankful for all the years of your life that she was in, right? So. But yeah, that's how I view.
Okay. So is this something that I should only do the last week of November?
Definitely not.
Okay. So this is something, so when we're thinking about, like, maybe we should call the activity of Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
this is something that we should be doing constantly.
Yeah.
Right?
And I would even, I'm brave enough to say it should probably be the culmination of your thankfulness. Like, you should be thankful all year long. Number one, because God doesn't judge you for your sin in the moment. Because if he did, there'd be no people.
True.
Because we'd all be done for.
We
would be the turkeys.
We're pretty terrible. Look at you. That was clever.
But it should be the culmination of it. Like, you should be thankful for, if anything, you should be thankful for what Jesus has done for you because you could not do it.
Right.
And I think you should use Thanksgiving as the culmination of that. Be like, you know what? God, may this be the culmination of me being thankful throughout the whole year, but may it also springboard me into the next year, because after Thanksgiving, it's like a mudslide all the way down through the new year. Like, right. It's quick. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like it's like
it is.
This.
It's coming. It
you wake up
quick.
After Thanksgiving and it's Christmas Eve, and you're like, what? But I think that's what you should do. It should be a culmination and a springboard to be thankful for the whole year.
For the whole year. Yeah, I agree. So what's some unique things we can do during, because I assume, at least I know for my family, we all come together. Yeah. We all have that one meal, right? So I assume that happens with everyone. Okay, everyone.
For the most part.
The most part, they come together, they have that meal. Yeah. And then, so what's something, I mean, is there something practical that we can do to do that? I mean, can we, is it good for us to go around the room to each person and say something we're thankful of?
Or
is
I hate
it,
that.
Yeah, right, right. I'm not saying, and I want to be careful and not go into like this legalistic, you have to do this or
sure.
that. But,
sure.
But, because I agree with you, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to all come together and be thankful for how God has provided and whatever, but I think it's even, not even better, but I think it's good for those who have lost family members who come together during this time.
Yeah.
And we all eat. And what reminds me of this is you come together and you're almost always, at least from my experience, you're going to say the blessing before this meal.
Yeah.
Now, why this meal is different than any other meal of the world, I don't know. But for whatever reason, the family comes together and like, you know what, we're gonna
say the blessing for the dressing. That's what we're gonna do. Sorry, that's another one. Sorry.
Blessed for the dressing. Wow, you just have those coming out of the woodwork. So I think it's a cool opportunity for those who have lost family members. You get to come together, and what you shouldn't do in this moment is sit there and say, God is great.
God is good.
No. Take the opportunity you're given. This is because it's going to be rare.
Yeah.
It's rare that you get this opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? And thank God in that moment for all he's done. Right? Yeah. Thank him for your salvation, for him dying on the cross for you, for and then for all the things. Right? And I don't know. I just think that's a good
if you think about your faith, that should be what you're most thankful for.
Right.
Right? So if you are, this should be an open door for you.
Exactly.
To share the gospel with your faith. Because let me just bring some knowledge.
Bring it.
Not every single person in your family is saved.
Wow.
Sorry to ruin your Thanksgiving, but they're just not. So I'm not a fan of the artificial, like, all right, we're going to go around every room. Sally, what are you most thankful for this year? Like, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it just makes my skin crawl. I'm like, man, I've got to go to the bathroom. Like, that's what I do, right? But I think it's good for you to sit next to Uncle Tom or whatever and say, listen, man, I don't know what your year's been like. But I've been through this, and this hard thing.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful to have a Savior that saves
me
from my sin
right.
and enables me to love people the right way. And saying things like that makes people go, huh, I wonder what that means. And that's easy. Like, when else are you going to be surrounded by all these people?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is there's no, maybe at Christmas is the only other time.
Yeah, you get two shots.
You get two.
And maybe your birthday.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And that's even if you all live close together.
Right.
I mean, like, I don't live to 95% of my family.
I'm not going to be eating with my family on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, that's depressing.
I know. Actually, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
We'll probably grill out steaks.
Right. So, but yeah, so that's a quick couple minutes about Thanksgiving.
What I was really hoping you were going to ask me is what are some things we should do on Thanksgiving? Because I was
So Eric, what are some things
I was
going to
say? Open a can of cranberry sauce. That's what I was going to say.
That's some good stuff,
dude. It's like
sweet potato souffle is the best.
I'm just not a huge fan of sweet potatoes.
I'm a big fan,
and my mom is too. She
I don't
loves
know
that
why
stuff.
I'm such a big fan. Well, people say it's like dessert. Maybe that's why.
I mean, it's littered with sugar, isn't it?
Maybe. Maybe. I've never made it, so I don't know.
I've never made it either. You don't want me to make it? Because I'll probably quit halfway through because I'm dealing with sweet potatoes. Like, give me regular potatoes. Why do we have to change good things? Why do we have to do that to good things? Regular potatoes are
regular potatoes. The
cat's pajamas. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the stuff.
Right.
Well, so, but I hope everyone who listens has a good Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving from the pastor and intern family.
Yeah,
and
watch
Pilgrim
a football
Owl.
Game. Is it the Macy's Day Parade or is that Christmas?
Yes, no, that's you're right.
Is it the Macy's Day Parade?
It is the Macy's
Day
Parade.
Look how culturally sound I am.
I mean, it's basically the same every year. But
it is. There's a giant Snoopy. Do you know who Snoopy is?
Yes, I know. Who's, really? Did you really? I know at least who Snoopy is.
Okay. Do you know?
Hit me.
Do you know? Any of the rest of the Peanuts gang? Do you know any of them?
No.
Charlie Brown, come on. That was easy.
Charlie Brown,
come on.
Wow.
There's a Pikachu.
Yep.
Giant Pikachu.
I know who Pikachu is.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that's like super famous.
The McDonald's. Clown is in there.
Is
Ronald
he?
Ronald McDonald.
Is he?
He's normally
Man,
in there.
Man, we need to be done with Ronald.
SpongeBob normally makes an appearance.
Yes, I'm a huge SpongeBob fan. We need to be doing that.
Right. And then Santa Claus. Mm, he's in
that's
the
right. That's right. That big, is right.
Big fan of that guy.
Really? You're a huge fan of St. Nick?
Big fan of St. Nick. Yes.
It's a good dude.
Big St. Nick fan. So, but yeah, seriously, we do hope you have a good Thanksgiving from all of us over here at the Pastor and Intern family. Next week, we will finish chapter 5. We're almost to the end of Ephesians.
What are we going to do next?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out then. We're for the word, for the truth, and for the church. Thanks for listening to the Pastor and Intern podcast.